in a world full of enigmas. The thrill of seeking the truth. Two men review the common and cryptic to contemplate the questions. Aiden Taratz and his father, Matteo Taratz. This is Big Little Mysteries. Episode 1, Stonehenge. Welcome, guys, to the pilot episode of Big Little Mysteries. So this is something we've been kind of talking about for a while. This is, by the way, I am Matteo Taratz.
And I'm Aiden Taratz.
And Aiden is my son. He is 13, going on 30, I think. But he really has been getting more into, hey, let's learn about stuff and let's talk about it, because this might be the best place for us all to kind of learn more about topics like this. So we're going to pick up different kinds of mysteries, different kinds of weird, strange goings-on in the world. Some that are more well-known than others. Some that really you kind of scratch the surface when you learn about them at school. But all of it we kind of are going to dig into. We both have kind of scientific minds, even though we both have a feel for, you know, like crazier stuff too. But we're really going to try to present this as scientifically as we can. Our first episode is about Stonehenge, which is a very, very cool, weird piece. And then we're definitely got a lot to talk about, but I'm first going to let Aiden introduce the topic. So do you want to go ahead with what you got there, bud?
All right. So our first topic of the episode is who exactly built Stonehenge? In the 17th century, archaeologist John Aubrey claimed that Stonehenge was instead created by the Celtic high priests called Druids. It's a very popular theory among people who identify as modern-day Druids that still kind of gather around the site every summer solstice. But it was kind of determined through radiocarbon dating that Stonehenge stood for over 1,000 years, and this was all before the Celts were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, it takes them out of the running for that. Another theory is that they think that three tribes contributed to the building of Stonehenge at three different times. The first tribe began to work in around 3000 BC. They were called the Neolithic Agrarians, also known as the Windmill Hill People. They built the large circular hilltop furrows dug around a mound and had collective burials in stone-encased tombs. Most of their burial mounds face east-west, and they have a strong reverence for circles and symmetry. Next came the Bleaker people in around 2000 BC. They were highly organized and industrious as a people. Scientists believe that they were also sun worshippers, and it was them who aligned Stonehenge with certain important sun events such as summer and winter solstices.
Solstices.
Okay. The Bleaker people are likely responsible for the huge stones at Stonehenge. First, they erected the blue stones, perfectly aligned with the summer solstice sunrise. Then, with accelerating speed, they began to erect the sarsens into a continuous...
Sarsens are a different type of stone.
Into a continuous ring around the blue stones, 90 feet in diameter. The first and only raised stone circle known. Finally, the Wessex people are considered the third and final group to have worked on Stonehenge. They arrived around 1500 BC, at the height of the Bronze Age. They were a sophisticated society and were one of the most advanced societies outside of the Mediterranean at the time. And so it's thought that they were smarter than everyone. They're thought to be responsible for the bronze dagger carving on one of the sarsens. That's it.
Okay. Hey, no, that's good. There's a lot of stuff in there. And the strangest thing about any of this stuff is think where 3000 BC is. How long ago is 3000 BC?
5,000 years.
5,000 years ago. So 5,000 years ago, this site compared to when the Roman like civilization was flourishing, is it's closer. The Romans are closer to us than the Romans were to this. That's how long ago it was. It's some of the stuff out. This outdates most of the pyramid work.
It actually outdates all of it.
Yeah, it outdates most. There's a couple like smaller like pyramid type things that are around 3,000 years ago, but this outdates most of the stuff. And so just going back and thinking that, because people think of civilization, you know, to us, we think it was kind of born out of just like came from Africa and went over. But these people were there long before that. And there's a lot of evidence that even though the first stuff was built here in 5,000 years, this place was used long before that. There's actually evidence that it was used as for religious type purposes about 8,000 BC. So that's 10,000 years ago. So the site had been a site of some kind of extreme significance and most likely religious for 10,000 years. Like that's when you're going back and thinking societies, there's not and civilizations and organized people. You don't. It's tough to go back and think that far. That was the one thing I really thought was cool about it. There's evidence of a lot of pine posts being around, like wooden posts, because there was holes that were dug to put posts in before they put the stone pieces. They had wood pieces in there, so it's kind of like, hey, we build this really cool thing, but it's not lasting that long. How do we make it last longer? And they found these rocks. Also, do you know anything about the rocks besides what they're called? Okay, well, that's a good thing to talk about too. Because these sarsens weighed between 7 and 25 tons. There was one that weighed about 30 tons. That is 60,000, it's between 14,000 and 60,000 pounds. And so, like we had kind of joked when we were making this episode, like, oh, was it aliens or lizard people? That's a lot of weight for people to move. It's a lot of weight. And I'm definitely not saying I think it's people. Personally, because I think people that have a drive to do something like this they'll get 1,000 people together and walk 100 miles with a rock to make it look cool. That's how
Actually,
aliens
I'm
works.
going to get into that a little bit
Okay,
later,
we will.
how they think
Oh,
they
we'll
did.
get into it. Don't worry. But also, so the sarsens came from a quarry that was, I believe, about like 20, 25 miles away, which is far, but not as far as where the bluestones came from, which was a quarry that's about 100 miles away in southern Wales. And so they were, I think there was a part river involved in moving the bluestones at least. Like they used some kind of boat or something, which still, even think back to that time, a boat that could hold tons and tons of rocks is, even like one of those rocks is heavy. That's, a truck couldn't bring that rock. You know, you couldn't throw that in the back of a pickup truck. You couldn't throw that in you might be able to throw that in a Mack truck, but even that, when you get to 60,000 pounds, that's a lot of weight. So there's a lot of cool stuff in this. I did read that there were three different types of building, and the timelines that you said were correct. From what I read too, there was basically like a little bit of stuff, and there was a lot of holes dug in the first thing. They actually think that it might have been a cemetery of some
Oh
sort.
yeah, there was tons of human remains,
Yeah.
as well as cremated remains.
Yeah, they think that first incarnation of it was just a cemetery. There was actually no evidence of religious rites or anything done. There wasn't like animals being sacrificed. It was just bodies buried there with these holes that they think might have even had like small gravestones. Like maybe this could have been one of the oldest cemeteries we've ever encountered. But unfortunately, we don't have the stones there anymore. We can't really verify that, just that there's a lot of dead bodies there,
Yeah.
or a lot of remains there. But did you know that this isn't even the biggest henge in the area?
It isn't.
No. Stonehenge is the most popularly known henge for a reason, mostly because the rocks are massive, and also because it's fairly intact. It's not all the way intact, obviously. We know it was used to be a complete circle. We'll get into that
Then
later.
the
There's
Great Fall happened.
cool, but there's definitely some stuff that fell down. That's what happens when life happens or when people happen, unfortunately. There's that guy that in the 17th century, that's how long ago they've been looking into it, like having people dig around and do stupid stuff and sometimes grab a rock if they want. That's how it kind of gets the way it is. But there's a henge called Durrington Walls. It's about 2 miles away. That's actually the second largest henge in England, but not the first largest. And it's supposedly quite a deal larger, but not as quite as intact because it's like rounder, but not as much of it's up anymore. There's several different henges though throughout that just that area, which is kind of where you think maybe this is some kind of religious thing, or maybe it's a UFO landing strip. I don't know, but it's
I think it's calendars, if I'm being completely
a
honest.
lot of it. That was one of the cool things that I read too, is that a lot of it, I think Durrington Walls aligns to some event,
Yeah.
whereas sorry for the page turn flip there, guys. But the Stonehenge actually has a different alignment towards the I think the summer, first summer sun and like fall. I don't know. I have it on here somewhere, but should have had that more organized. Sorry, guys. Yeah, so this is obviously built for a purpose though. It is unfortunate because we are going so far back in history that it's tough to think of that purpose. We can guess, and I think there's a pretty good chance of what we're guessing, if we're guessing religion, that's probably what it was, because religion was what kept people alive really back then. That's what gave them hope.
Yeah.
There was a really there's a couple of villages that were dug up very close to there. Like at least places of villages. They found this place where there was 18 square foot houses, so they're probably about, like maybe three of your bedrooms together, but as a house. So they weren't huge, but they were enough for a family to live in, because you really that's it was to sleep in and keep yourself out of the weather. It wasn't like we didn't have there wasn't like fancy furniture or TV back then, so they didn't have to worry about any of this stuff.
Yeah.
But in this area, which goes over, I think, 2,500 acres. They're like theoretically there could be 1,000 of these houses here. And so with that 1,000 houses, there could be an actual city there. That could be 5,000 people that have could have lived right near Stonehenge. So even though there's nothing there right now, it's mostly woods. It was a different time. It was 5, 10,000 years ago. There's lots of evidence of stone tools. There's a ton of evidence of orcs, which I don't know if you do you know what an orc is?
No.
This is actually kind of cool because orcs were basically giant cows. They were like three times the size of cows. And England was full of them back 5, 10,000 years ago. They're kind of like how woolly mammoths here, like they're something that was very close and probably alongside humans, but don't exist anymore because humans probably hunted them to extinction. But there's actually auric bones that are buried in the right in the as like kind of like road markers to the avenue that goes from the river to Stonehenge, right in the corners. And they think there was the significance of that was that it was kind of like a talisman of like the harvest or some kind of religious type thing. But also orcs were kind of what drove the food chain back then. It was like us having cows. If we ran out of cows, that'd be a big problem, and because we eat red meat, or chickens or something like that, and so orcs were like the staple food probably of their diet back then. There's also and I watched a special on this. This was a National Geographic special. It's pretty cool. It talked about that there used to be a very big river besides the River Avon, which is the river that's right near there that the road goes to. There's another river about a mile away, which now is just a spring off of that river called the Blick Mead. But the Blick Mead was where they found a bunch of the tools that were involved with this. And the really cool thing about this place is that they think it might have had some kind of, at least to people back then, they might have had some kind of magical property because there was a special algae in the river. And if you took a rock from the river, look brown. If you let the rock dry because of the way the algae died on it, the rock would turn pink as you took it out, as it dried off out of the water. And the guy did it. He took one of them out, and I was like, "What?" It was really cool. It's like a really bright pink color. And he's like, "So, people taking something out of here might have. This is almost kind of like a retreat for them. You know, they come here, they get a pink rock. This rock is special to them." And it was really kind of cool showing that this place, first of all, had a lot more life than it has now. You know, at least in this area. But also just that how, especially with something like that, that's magic. Back then, you know, they didn't know how algae worked. So that's, you pull a rock out of the river and you get a pink rock. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry, I did learn a lot about this. But so let's, you said you wanted to get into, like, let's talk about how something like this can happen. Do you have stuff on that,
I do.
or do you, okay, let's see what you got.
All right. The first monument of Stonehenge was a circular earthwork enclosure. It was built in around 3000 BC. It was a pretty simple build
I think it's like a
process.
barrow or something, isn't it? It's like a domed type.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're called barrows.
There was a ditch that was dug with simple antler tools. And then chalk was piled up to make the inner and outer bank.
Okay.
And then in the
Oh, okay. No, you're talking about the circular enclosure part.
yeah
Okay. All
yeah
right.
and then and then within the ditch was a ring of 56 timber and stone posts.
And that circular enclosure is still there. Like, if you look at a top shot of Stonehenge, you can still see that circle, which was made 5,000 years ago. It's crazy.
Now I kind of want to talk about how they were moved, because there's a
Okay.
lot of people that think that they were brought in by sea
Okay.
or on some type of river.
This actually, this is a main theory of a lot of people. So yeah.
There's a lot of researchers that are denying this claim.
Okay.
They're saying that the bluestone outcrops were made of natural vertical pillars, which made them easier to move. So they think that people just eased them onto wooden platforms and then dragged them away for construction.
See, and I definitely think that was part of it. But 100 miles of that seems like a lot of
It
miles.
does.
Like, that seems like weeks. Whereas if you get this on a boat and, like, float around, that seems a lot quicker.
Yeah.
But I mean, it must have taken them years upon years, even with 100 people, to move 3 blocks, you know, 2 blocks, 3 blocks, 4 blocks. How many was there? 60, I want to say, altogether. And so that's a crazy feat of strength to do that. And like I said, so the blue, they were not just saying, "Hey, we think it came from this area." They have actually found the quarry where they have matched the Sarsen rock. They have found it in the mountain. The quarry is still there in the mountain. They found exactly the quarry it came from. The blue stones, I'm pretty sure they found at least the area, if not the quarry, where they came from. So you know exactly where they came from. And yet, the land's a little different. There might have been more water or less water then. You know, 14,000 years ago, we were just getting off an ice age. There might have been more water, depending, or might have still been finishing melting. But just to say they were dragged there, I could see them being dragged 20 miles, but 100, 150 miles, that's, especially 'cause it's not a straight line. You know, you got to probably go through mountains. It seems a little crazy.
And it's wild that Stonehenge actually started construction around 300 years before the first pyramid.
Yeah, the pyramids might be, in quotes, a larger architectural feat, and they probably had a lot more people to do it with, though, too. But there, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't really, I don't think it puts a dent in the significance of making something like this. And again, they're for a purpose, which is the biggest thing at the time was really religion. That's kind of what it was, you know. That's why I think, you know, even if you're, people are like, it's aliens, whatever, humans are do crazy stuff when they want to get something done. And they will lift a big old rock, 20, 30, 40 people together to make it happen, you know? So
All right. Now I think we should talk about some reasons why, like actual reasons why it was built.
okay.
The first evidence to why it was built is the fact that it was used as a burial site for part of its life. It's this is this this theory right here is widely agreed upon. Most people think that it also served other functions within its lifetime, which is being used as a religious site, a memorial, and a place to spiritually connect with your past ancestors.
Do you know why they might have thought it was like a spiritual place?
I think it was something to do with the formation of the rocks.
I will get into the acoustics when we get to our fun facts, because the acoustics I could talk about for another hour. We don't have that much time, but well, we definitely know it was a cemetery of some sort first. But obviously, it was also a very religious, even if you just look at the way it's organized, like the piece of land it's on. It's just on this like hill where there's almost nothing around it. Kind of like it's like the peak of this hill. It just feels like it's supposed to be important. And it's just one of those innate human things that even if I don't know that this is part of somebody's religion or Druidic or alien, it feels like it's supposed to be important when you look at it. That's kind of what I think attracts everyone to Stonehenge who has seen it, who has heard about it, who's talked about it, and proliferated it as long as it has been from the 17th century or even farther back. But yeah, I feel like we have to agree that there's got to be a religious purpose. It almost feels like an outdoor church when you look at it. It's obviously too small to be like a Coliseum or something like that, but it's definitely big enough where you can gather people there. You can do things there. Maybe it was Druid open mic night. I don't know, but it's a cool looking place, and that's why it's proliferated for so long.
There was a man named Professor Timothy Darvill from Bournemouth University who he said that the site was created on a solar year of 365.25 days. Because we have to get that specific.
Well, that's a solar year.
To help people keep track of days, weeks, and months. Weeks were 10 days long, and there were more months than we're used to today in that calendar. I'm kind of wondering how that worked, though, how that system worked.
Well, I mean, we are based on the Roman system. So everyone, like, we take it for granted that we think everyone has just always had 12 months, 365 days in a year in a leap year. But that's not always the way it worked. I mean, and 10, I guess 5 would make the most sense if we're going 365 days, but why not 10 either? It's kind of arbitrary the way we organize it. Really, especially because we could have made 13 months and made every month 28 days, I think. And it would have been closer to what, it would have been 364 or something like that. It would have been closer to the third. I think it's 28 days and 13 months. I have to do the math again, but I remember seeing this a long time ago, and I was like, "Oh, that. Why didn't we do that?" Because we've got one day. One's got 39. One's got 28 or 29 sometimes. One got 31, and you don't even remember half the time. Which like some people are like March had 31 days. People forgot about that.
I couldn't remember if April had a
Yeah,
31st or not.
I know exactly. It's one of those weird things that you just. We could have made it easier, but we've based it on the Roman calendar, so it's fine. A lot of sun worship going on there, which I guess is a popular thing because really that a lot of the sun and the movement of the sun is kind of how this is involved too.
Did you know that there's actually stones missing from Stonehenge?
Yeah, there's been stones stolen from Stonehenge. There's been stones that have fallen, but there's definitely not all the stones. All the stones are not there right now.
Some people think that stones were either legally taken or they were stolen from Stonehenge to be used in construction.
I wouldn't doubt if they're stolen, especially like in the 19th century. People used to do all kinds of weird. They like take down a priceless statue and like put it as the foothold of a building or something like that. So I would don't doubt that. Like a lot of the stuff I was reading about for Stonehenge when I was reading about it, because I was reading around when that Darvill guy was there. But before that, like between the 17th century and the 19th century, there's a lot of people that went there and just like did weird shit with it. At one point, Stonehenge was bought at auction for 6,500 pounds. somebody was just selling the piece of land with a UNESCO Heritage World Heritage Site on it. But you know, that's kind of the way stuff is until somebody goes, "You can't do that." People will just do it.
Yeah.
And those are cool stones too. I mean, they're big white stones. The blue stone is not blue like as we're thinking of it blue, but it's a really like solid piece of stone. These stones have been weathered for 10,000 years and they're still standing, a lot of them. So,
Well, yeah.
sorry, 10,000
Some
years.
of them aren't still standing though.
Yeah, that's true.
So now we're going to talk about the Great Fall.
Okay.
About 2 centuries ago, three of the largest megaliths, which is what we call these big stone things, which is referred to as a complete trilithon. I think that's how you pronounce it, trilithon.
Trilithon, I like it.
Collapsed. The first time any such event had been recorded in throughout history. One of only three occasions on which the stones are known to have fallen at the site in modern times. This incident is referred to, but there's been no comprehensive review of what happened or its significance since it was described at the time. This all happened in January of 1797. Yeah, 1797. Nobody knows if it was really a hammer for hire, per se, or if it was just the simple fact of weathering.
Well, I can tell you some of the stones were placed in the ground a lot better than others too. Like some of them were placed dozens of feet into the ground, like 10, 15 feet into the ground, and some of them were kind of just kind of like balanced nicely.
I think the deepest stone is 6 meters.
Yeah, so that's 18 feet, 19, 20 feet. That's probably closer to 20 feet. So it's about 20 feet in the ground plus the 20 feet above it. You know, that's pretty. It's pretty significant. That one's not going down unless somebody's like breaks it in half somehow or something. But some of them were not put in that deep either. You know, maybe they weren't long enough. They were trying to match them all up. I don't know. Yeah, I know that they've actually put some of them back up too. That's another thing. Not just that they've fallen down, but they've actually put some back up to be in the right order or like to make it more Stonehengy when something like that happened. It definitely still has the feel, but if you look at the original design of it, you're like, wow, that was a complete, like, that was it was this real sight, you know, it was a real cool thing to see. It's still cool to see what you can see now, but it would have been real cool to see it all the way up. I know there was, like, a couple of the things I was looking at when I was, the acoustics thing was one of them. That's where it showed how good the acoustics were because they did a 1/12 scale of it to show the acoustics. And it was like just showed how the sound bells on. We'll get into the fun facts, but it was pretty cool. Let's talk about the avenue too. The Ceremonial Avenue was just a chalk line that was drawn 5,000 years ago, but it always went from the river to the henge, which is why a lot of people thought that, well, that must be the way the rocks are coming from the river. That's one of the big main theories, is because they thought, oh, the ceremony was rolling the stone through that avenue, which goes anywhere from 115 feet wide to about 65 feet wide, I believe, and rolling it to Stonehenge. Later in, I think in the second construction phase, when they built up all the big rocks, they actually made the avenue like more of a street almost, but only for ceremony because it just went to the river and back there. It didn't go anywhere else. But it was really. It's really cool. They found out though before that it would definitely have like the chalk outline, so that street was always there to that site as long as people were really using it. They always had some kind of ceremony that went from the river to there. Maybe it was part of the death ceremony. Maybe they would bathe you in the river or bring you over there, but they didn't really know that because it's been 5,000 years, so it's tough to or longer
Yeah.
since they've been using it. But it was still kind of cool that they. This road has been there for 5,000 years, but maybe longer.
Did you know that there's people who think it was Merlin and the giants that built up Stonehenge?
Well, I mean, giants might be able to lift those big old rocks, I guess.
Yeah, according to folklore, Stonehenge was made by Merlin. If you don't know who Merlin is, he's the famous wizard of Arthurian legend, who magically transported the massive stones from Ireland where giants had assembled them.
Yeah, I mean, Arthurian legend is like the Greek gods. It's like the Roman gods. It's these stories that may have, or even I dare say, like the Bible, where there's these stories that were from something and maybe got a little embellished and then made into something spectacular. I remember one of the things I've heard, and I guess going on a little bit off topic, but talking about giants, is that people saw mastodon heads and they saw the hole in the front where the tusk was, and they thought that was where the eye was. That's why they thought giants had one eye and they were cyclopses, because they thought that hole where the, and it was a big skull with this, with a place where the trunk was, but there's no bone in the trunk, so all you saw was an open cavity, and they thought, oh, that's where its big giant eye was. It was, that's what, why cyclopses, they must be 14 feet tall and they have one eye. And so that's kind of how that stuff happens. So, you know, you don't really know what it is, and you put some lore behind it, and
Yeah, and then becomes
it
the
becomes
basis
the
behind
truth,
reality.
or at least a basis behind a fantastical story. I've heard in the past that King Arthur is kind of like a bunch of different leaders around the time that kind of, they swooshed them all together to make the coolest one, basically. But I mean, whether it is or it isn't, it's still a kind of a cool story to say how those things got there, and makes it even more magical in a way.
Yeah.
Even though I don't believe that that is, because really, giants, it would be tough to be a giant. Your bones wouldn't really work out. Look at anybody who's big nowadays. You don't live that long because you're crushing all your body with your giant body weight. All your limbs, you can't really, they're too long. Your bones are breaking, your feet are breaking, stuff
Yeah.
like that. That's why basketball players don't play that long. So like everybody's like, oh, giants. I'm like, yeah, that sounds great, but probably not. I get it though. I get where you're going. Especially when you got something so magical, let's make it more magical, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have fun facts or no?
No.
I got a couple, so
So
let's look at these. Let's look at these. Okay. So the when completed, this henge was made to magnify speech and sustain musical tones. They've done experiments on this where a musical tone will actually bounce around the place in perfect synchronicity. Now, I have been singing for a long time, and I've been to places like cathedrals that are made to, the sound goes up and the sound comes down in a perfect synchronicity where it is amplified. It's amplified, it sounds better. We were in a salt mine where I can't even begin to tell you the feeling of how good that the acoustic was when it hit us. Like, I almost cried. It was so beautiful. And so sustained the note. Like, I remember we hit the last note and it rang out, and you just felt it for like another minute afterwards. And I've also been in bad acoustic places where, like, that sound comes and just hits you hard, like the wrong way, and you can't even like hear what you're singing anymore. And supposedly this was the former, where when, if somebody would sing a tone, it would bounce all around the place, but would not be heard outside, even though it was an open air. You couldn't hear that stuff outside of the circle. So if you were spying or something, or you just weren't invited for some reason, I guess it wasn't like a loud noise on the people that may have lived nearby. Also, there was no microphones. So to be able to talk to a large crowd, even if it was like 150 people, without any amplification is tough, because people block sound. So you have to be way above them, or you have to be so loud that you can project over them somehow. And the way that the acoustics worked is that, I guess, there's a little dais, I believe, or there's some kind of stone in the front that was a little higher than everybody. And when they talked, it would bounce off all the walls and come back in, like the singing would. So they could hear somebody speaking in a normal voice, supposedly perfectly, from that spot. If the person was speaking from there, and it wouldn't be blocked out by anybody else talking in the crowd, really, because of the way the acoustics were.
Yeah.
That's like, to think, that's really the crazy thing, that if I was like believing in aliens, like that would be like, who had the wherewithal to know how that was going to work? That's insane to me. That, like, obviously we have smart people in our world. There's the Albert Einsteins of the world, you know, the Bill Nye the Science guys.
Reliable science guy.
We have the people like that that just can like figure stuff out, but he or he or she or whoever figured this out, they, well, all the people that were involved in this, made it so that the acoustics were perfect inside this ring, which is crazy to me. The first one is like, we're not sure how the songs, I just talked about this, the distance between 20 and 100-ish miles to get the stones there. But also, it could have been by boat, you know. But to even think of that big 60,000-pound stone, what boat was carrying that back then? There's laws of buoyancy, but also just like the strength of timber and stuff like that has to be able to hold something like that.
Yeah.
It's amazing to think of. This is what I said in the beginning. I'm sorry I already wasted it, but ancient Rome was farther away from this than we are from ancient Rome.
Mm-hmm.
When we think of humans, it's tough to think in that kind of dynamic timeline. Well, I mean, America has been around for 350 years. What, you know, we're barely old enough to walk compared to this place like these. And this place in particular had been being worked on for 1,500 years. You know, just to get it to where that place it was. We'll never get to, unfortunately, know what that place was like. There wasn't much writing on it even back then. So that's the biggest issue with a lot of human history, is that we either can't decipher the writing, or it was verbal. It was not written.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just kind of guessing. We're like, well, we guess there. This looks like a tool. We can pretty sure we know what tools look like. This looks like a house. We know what houses were shaped like. But it's tough to say, besides like finding bones and stuff like that, besides finding diets, it's tough to say what was happening. They actually, in one of the sites near there, in that Blick Mead, the National Geographic thing, they found a canine tooth. And they couldn't confirm it, but they're pretty sure it was a domesticated canine that was a wolf. And so 5,000-10,000 years ago, when the civilization was there, they had dogs, you know? Which is kind of cool to think of, you know.
Yeah.
They had dogs, and or they may have had dogs, you know. And they found a patch of these rocks that were deliberately placed, and they thought this also was some kind of, they're small rocks, but it almost looked like a road, but they said it was probably like a religious site of some sort. So there is, even though we just see these big stones kind of in the middle of nowhere, there was life there that we will never really, unfortunately, know about unless somebody digs up the whole English countryside and analyze, and still then we're not gonna know what a day in these guys' lives was like. But Stonehenge Park is 6,500 acres, which you don't really realize it, because you just see Stonehenge.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, that's kind of small. You think it's like as big as a house or something. It's not. It's much bigger than that. But 6,500 acres is 7.5 times the size of Central Park. Central Park being the large park that's in New York City. And that park's pretty big. If you ever walk Central Park, you can walk it. It's not like a national park or anything. But 7.5 times size of that, that's what Stonehenge Park is. There's several different henges in the area as well. There's a wood henge. There's a water henge that's in the water. There is no fire henge. I looked it up. I couldn't find any fire henge.
Oh,
I don't know. I know the fire company was not doing well on this one. But it's still pretty crazy to think how big that piece of land is. And for years, and this is something I remember when I was younger, and it actually was, you were alive when this was still there. There was a highway right next to Stonehenge. Like, legit, you could drive by Stonehenge, and like, just on your right, there's Stonehenge, and you're driving on the highway. I guess in 2013, they finally moved it for better ambiance, but like, they just wanted to use that land, I guess. But this was a fun first one. I liked it, because it's, I like that we're also in agreement that we're not trying to shoehorn aliens into this, I guess.
Was it aliens?
Yeah, it's fun to think about that it could have been giants or aliens or something like that. But, and like I said, I'm one of the first people that'll be like, let's at least broach the topic and talk about it, because I think there is an intelligence design to our universe, and there's probably something else out there that is sentient besides us. But we don't, you know, it's not here. It's not with us right now.
Yeah.
But This is a really cool piece of history because it's one of those ones that's kind of overlooked when you have the Great Pyramids, when you have natural wonders that, you could talk about, which I'd love to talk about, like how Niagara Falls was formed or something like that too. That's not really a mystery though. That's just science. This is kind of a mystery more because we'll never know why these people built this piece of land. We can just guess. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of on the mark, we know there's human remains there from a long time ago, so it's probably a burial place. We know that this seems like a religious thing, so there's definitely rocks there that, but there's so much more to henges themselves that we have lost to time, so we're just guessing. But it still makes it pretty interesting though. Do you have any final thoughts on Stonehenge?
I think it's a beautiful work of, I dare I say, art.
I mean, it is to us.
It's a beautiful landscape.
It's geology that it was turned into art. And like I said, when I said that, I was thinking of it because that hill is just perfectly balanced, where the way it sits on top of the hill, the way it circles around it, it's really cool to look at. Like when I go to England one day, I definitely want to go there. It's it. There's no. It's just one of those cool pieces of land that one day hopefully we'll get to visit and see for ourselves. On a Big Little Mysteries reunion tour or something. Well, I think we solved it, guys. It's people. No, I we're not trying to solve anything. We're just trying to talk about the stuff. We're gonna let you guys decide. In our comments, well, in any place you list this on, I'm gonna try to put this on everything, on Apple, on Spotify, on Google Play. So wherever podcasts are podded, we're gonna try to pod this out. But also, if you like this, like and subscribe, tell your friends about it, and let's talk more about the mysteries.
Join us next time for the case of D.B. Cooper.
D.B. Cooper. Bye, guys.